Now, are you looking for trouble? Because if you are, you come to the right place. The James Whale Radio Show. Thank you very much indeed, and a very warm welcome to this edition of the James Whale Radio Show, produced by...
That bloke in Wales.
Yes, Robbo, and later today you might wonder why I started in that rather frightening way.
It wasn't that frightening, I knew it was you, I could see you on the screen.
Oh, right, okay. Well, that was you know, me auditioning for a part in a new gangster movie called The Hit.
I think they've finished filming now.
Yeah? Well, we're going to talk to the film company and the producers of the film. It's a very small, independent film company. Lots of small, independent movies being made in this country, of course, as you know. And who knows? There might be a part in another movie. We've got to keep our options open. Anyway, let's start the ball rolling. And what's been, oh, my golly gosh, what has been perhaps one of the most tragic weeks ever? Football violence, hooliganism in Europe, in Marseille. What is the answer to this? I've heard some absolute rubbish spouted by people about this. And the most rubbish is, oh, well, the French police were a bit too violent. Well, you know, good on the French police. That's all I can say. I don't think the French police went in hard enough. I really don't. If you go to somebody else's country, and I'm not in... Look, I know the Russians inside the stadium. The Russians need a talking to, absolutely. Don't get me wrong. But they're Russians, all right? They're Russians. They're not really up on polite behaviour, are they, the Russians? So let's just worry about ourselves before we start worrying about the Russians. Here we are, the Euros. Football fans have been looking forward to this for ages. Here it comes. The French have had terrible time with the terrorist attacks, and we'll go on and talk about America a bit later. And so they have more than enough to contend with the possibility of yet another terrorist attack. And what are some of the fat louts? Because, you know, most of them aren't they? Men with big beer bellies, shouting abuse, hurling bottles, going around... flying the flag of St. George, which in itself actually is, as you know, is not one of my favourite flags for all kinds of reasons. And they're thick. I mean, I'm sorry, but they are utterly, utterly thick. And I don't believe that football fans, proper football fans, are stupid, ignorant. And these are just inadequate human beings. Basically, these people are inadequate human beings. And they bring this country into disrepute. And quite frankly, I think it is about time that they were dealt with harshly. You know, when the French have finished with them, send them back here, handcuffed, send them back here, have their passports taken off them for 10 years. I there's no point in clogging up the prisons with them, but let's fine them so heavily that, to be quite honest, they won't have the money to do anything. And let's keep an eye on them. Let's make them report to a police station every Saturday. Let's make their lives absolutely unbearable so that they will never, ever consider tarnishing the name of our great nation again. Am I wrong? Am I wrong, Robbo?
It sounds pretty reasonable so far.
Yeah. I think it's very reasonable. Very reasonable indeed. Can anybody think of any reason why this shouldn't be done? Send them back in handcuffs, embarrass them.
Yeah, play some footage as they're coming off the plane of what they did and their faces coming down the steps. Yeah.
Yeah. And they might, you know, some of these people obviously get a kick out of notoriety. But as soon as they find out that they are the figures of fun, that they are the people that we think are just... Well, the thing that really embarrasses them, and I've spoken to a couple, if you call them inadequate, What? You're inadequate. I mean, I spoke to one guy who said, well, I work in the city. I'm a trader. Seriously, this guy, you know, had a very good job, made a lot of money. And don't get me wrong, these people who have enough money to go abroad to follow football games in the Euros are not hard up. You can't afford on benefits to go over there and drink as much as they drink and live the way they live. So these people have all got money. So I suggest that we take some of their money off them and that we take their passports off them, because do we really want, you know, we have a bad enough reputation abroad as it is. Do we really want these sort of scumbags over there tarnishing the name of this great nation? You know, we're celebrating the other weekend. We were celebrating the 90th birthday of Her Majesty the Queen. And by the way, didn't Prince Philip look good during the trooping of the colour? There's a man 95 years old, walking without a stick and wearing full military uniform, including the bearskin.
He looked awesome.
He did. And you know, it's joking apart, it's a pretty heavy uniform that for anybody to wear. A 95-year-old, my golly.
He did well. He did very well.
He did do very well. And then, but we don't talk much about that at the moment. And you know, the celebrations of the weekend, which we should have been talking about. We're talking about now a bunch of scumbags who are running riot in a country near to us, in our nearest neighbours in France, and embarrassing us. And embarrassing us. I think we should publicly apologise to the French.
Yes, we're very sorry.
We are sorry. We do hang our heads collectively in shame because of the way a few of our countrymen, and I don't suppose any women were involved, our countrymen behaved. But they are not really the sort of people that represent this nation. They are drunken thugs. I mean, I know that you in France have your own drunken thugs, and other countries do too. And hopefully, on a radio program like this in Russia, a Russian radio host will be taking exactly the same line as I am. Probably the government over there won't, but I haven't heard our government talk out against them much.
No.
I haven't heard our Prime Minister come on and say, well, every one of these people will have their passport taken away from them. Because, you know, they could do that, couldn't they?
They could, yes, definitely.
Yeah. Yeah. You want to take exception. Let's talk about this more. You can email me, jameswhaleradio@gmail.com. Maybe talk more about it on the next program. I'm disgusted. I am absolutely disgusted. I mean, actually, I'll tell you what, humiliation. Maybe have their shorts pulled down, bent over collectively, and given the cat of nine tails publicly when they return.
It's not good. Not good at all.
No, it's not. It's not. And you know, it's a fairly depressing world in which we live at the moment, not to mention the flipping shootings in America, in Orlando. I'm going to come on and talk to that about that a little bit later on in the program. Let's cheer ourselves up a bit, shall we?
Yeah, didn't Wales do well?
Wales did do remarkably well, didn't they?
They did, yes.
You know, Ireland didn't do so well.
I didn't watch that one. Didn't they not?
Did you not?
No,
they didn't do very well. England took their eye off the ball right at the end. But Wales, and of course I have more reason to be proud of this than you.
Yeah, actually you do, yes, you know, to be fair. Yes.
I am officially half Welsh.
I've stolen your country off you.
Yes, you have. You've gone to live in the Principality, yet I am the one who sticks up for Wales more than anybody. Do you see the amount of stick when I have a go about the Welsh language?
I don't. You're always supportive of the Welsh.
Of course. Just, I'll have a word with the Sons of Glendower if they say anything to you.
That's gone way over my head.
Good. Probably best that it does. So, football-wise, yep, Wales did remarkably well. UEFA say that they are, of course, going to take a very dim view if fans begin to behave like that, as far as England and Russia are concerned. The only problem is that UEFA say these things quite often, and as it was UEFA that come up with the plan and they decide on what teams are playing and where and at what time, maybe they should have taken a look at themselves, I suggest, before. But that is no excuse for the way that these monsters behaved. They truly are the most despicable people, and if they're a member of your family, you should out them. Of course, they'll all come home with a good reason. Oh, I was picked on. It wasn't my fault. I was picked on. It was those horrible Russians and those horrible French. They picked on us. You know, complete right. You don't have to go to areas where this is likely to happen. You don't have to drink until you can hardly stand up either. How embarrassing. How embarrassing.
At least we got the World Cup to look forward to.
Oh, yeah, I can't wait. The World Cup in Russia. That'll be a hoot, won't it? Mm. I mean, if the Russians don't sort themselves out before long, the Russians may find that the World Cup will be taken from them. Well, yeah, because it's about time things change. Anyway, listen, we've got brand new baseball caps in.
We have, yes. We've got a delivery, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, and a friend of mine the other day said he downloaded my book from Audible, but he didn't do it through our website.
Well, that's a bit silly, isn't it?
So we don't make any money out of that, do we?
No, we get loads of money if you download it through our website.
Yeah. So if you would like a free copy, this is the way it works. We get paid, you get it for free.
That's right.
And Audible get the publicity. Mm-hmm. If you want to help support the program, all you've got to do is download the links to Audible.
That's right.
Now, you don't have to have Almost a Celebrity by that amazing broadcaster, James Whale, again, not mentioned in the Queen's Birthday Honours. How much more do I need to crawl?
Keep going.
Okay. But you can have any book, including mine, of course, any book you want for free.
Any book at all.
And then we get a few bob. Yeah. So go and check out the website, James Whale Radio, and all will be revealed. Right, shall we have a bit of music here?
Yes, okay. What we got?
I think we'll have a bit of music, come back, and then I have got a chat. I'm going to have a chat with some film producers. Brad and Tanya are going to talk to me about their new movie that's called The Hit. But before that, Marcella or Marcella? Marcella. Marcella Detroit, a.k.a., that means really likes to go under the name of Marcy Levy.
Right.
All right. In the early 90s, she was one half of a UK band called Shakespeare's Sister.
Ooh.
Do you remember Shakespeare's Sister? They were excellent. Say again.
Me. That one.
Sort of. Yeah. She co-wrote and was vocally featured on their song Stay.
That's the one I just sung, by the way.
Yes. Yeah, well, similar anyway, which was number one for 8 weeks in the UK chart, still holding the record for the longest running number one for a female band in the UK. But Marcella Detroit, a.k.a. Marcy Levy, is back with a new sound, and this is England Calling. Thank you.
crashing over me.
There we are. That was Marcy Levy and England Calling. We'll come back. We've got some people who want to talk about football. We'll come back to that in a moment. But first, I'm going to talk to Tanya Wall, one half of Brad and Tanya Wall, who run a film studios, and they have just they're just about to complete a new sort of it's a gangster movie with a slight difference, and it's called The Hit. Let's find out about it.
Sitting in my room and I'm on my own. It's cold outside and I'm feeling alone. So I turn that dial and my radio's on. I hear James Whale and my troubles are gone. I hear James Whale on the radio. I hear James Whale and his podcast show. I hear James Whale on the radio.
Tanya joins me from CGF Studios. They're based in Essex, in England. And, well, Tanya's here. Tanya, tell us all about CGF. What does CGF stand for?
CGF is Crime Genre Films UK. We put the comms together in 2014. Husband and wife team, both from filming backgrounds. We actually met through the medium of film. And we decided we wanted to go it alone.
Now, your old man, Brad, he's a director.
He is.
And you, what do you do?
I do everything else.
You're the brains.
Photography, producing, cinematography, some directing. So we basically do everything between ourselves.
You've made some pretty amazing films, haven't you?
I've been involved with ITV1. That's where I started as a runner back in 1994, and I was part of the executive production team for Green Street with Elijah Wood. But this is our first feature together.
And did Brad used to be an actor as well?
He did, yes, he did. Well, he still is. He is in this film as well. Yes, he's been in several films such as Bonded by Blood, Hooligan Factory.
He plays pretty mean characters, doesn't he?
He does. He does, really. Yes. He's very much the East End gangster.
Well, I kind of grew up in the East End. My dad had a pub in King's Cross, so I'm sort of familiar with that territory. Tell me a bit about your past and Brad's past, if you will.
Brad, he describes it, was coming to a criminal family in the East End. And brought up with the sort of Eastern values, really. Myself, I was born in Cambridge, completely different lives, and two very different people, but extremely similar.
Now, the movies that you do, we'll talk about a couple of them in a moment, but the movies that you do are quite violent, aren't they?
They are. Not for the sake of violence. It just happens to be that this story is one that we particularly want to share. We've got a new angle, we've got some information that we want to share with an audience. It introduces a character called Stepney, and he is central to the story. But as I say, it's not violence for violence's sake, it's violence because that happens to be part of the events that happened in 95. Our next feature, Coal House, is actually a Gothic Victorian horror story, so slightly different angle.
Well, I'm going to talk to you about that in a moment. Let's talk about this current movie then. It's called The Hit. And tell me about M. Stepney Edwards' involvement and who actually M. Stepney Edwards is.
Mickey Stepney Edwards, Stepney being a nickname, is a dealer or drug dealer from the East End of London, who originally was supplier throughout Essex, to most of the nightclubs in Essex, and was kind of like knocked out of play when the Essex Boys, as they're called, came along, Pat Tate and Tony Tucker. And it just followed on from there, really. Obviously, I can't tell you too much about it. It was a locked script, so actually none of the cast actually had a full script. They only had portions that they were going to be shooting, simply because we didn't want to give away the story to anybody.
Now, you say in the publicity blurb for the hit that not every story has been told and it's time to put the Essex Boys to bed. What do you mean by that?
What we mean is that we've got some information we want to share. Brad has actually gleaned this information from a third party whose name I won't mention. As I say, we've changed the name to Mickey Stepney Edwards. And it brings another person into the mix. And by what we mean by put it to bed is basically this is what we believe has happened. It's a completely different take on the story. And it's not just merely a regurgitation of facts or a remake of the other films. I mean, we've not we don't usually utilise fast cars, fast nightlife, fast women, etc. We hope that, you know, the audience will agree it's a sort of an intelligent and serious rendering of the event. It takes sort of a much wider view of those surrounding and affected by the event. And we're extremely sympathetic to the families that were involved in the tragedy, all the families. We do in particular focus on the very sad death of the teenager who died through the use of ecstasy.
Now, this is, it's fairly current, this as well, because there are a lot of problems with gangs moving out of the East End, with drug dealing still, with crimes of violence. So it has a certain modern resonance, doesn't it?
It does, really. I think it does tie very well to current affairs and how you know, things are now. I don't think really anything really changes. It's sort of one big circle, really. But as I say, we're not glorifying the lifestyle. We're not glorifying drug dealing in any way. We're actually more sort of pinpointing the tragedy and the heartache that went with it, and, you know, the downside. We're not promoting that it was a fantastic world lifestyle.
No, there were some very bad people around for a long time, as there are now, there were then. Have you completed the movie?
We have one scene left to do. Because we're self-funded, it's obviously we haven't been able to turn around the shoots in a sort of an 8 or 12 week, as some obviously bigger companies will be able to do. It's actually been shot over a period of 18 months. And because other people have other work to go and do, other actors, possibly they need to change their appearance, they might need to cut the hair or shave a beard off. So we've obviously had to wait for their appearance to be as it was so we can continue filming. And also it's a case of getting everybody together in the same place at the same time with the same sort of equipment and vehicles that we need. All our actors, all our crew, all Essex-based. We've kept it very, very central, you know, very local. And we've had absolutely fantastic community support. Reeds and Billericay were absolutely brilliant. They let us film all our pub scenes and club scenes in there. Hannigan's Farm and Billericay were fantastic. An awful lot of it shot down there. And various sort of small businesses have helped us out. It's been absolutely brilliant.
When you make a film on a budget like this, because people hear of movies costing millions and millions of pounds, how much did it actually cost you to make this movie?
Really, at the moment, it's been running costs, i.e. getting to locations, providing, low-budget catering for the people on location, paying for makeup supplies that we might need, costumes, and really just the equipment. All of our Essex actors have all waived to having a fee. This film is a mutual kind of benefit, really, because they will have the accolade of having been in the film and having, you know, rather large roles. And obviously we get their experience and most of them are, well, in fact, all of them are absolutely fantastic. They're all very talented and all very committed.
You've managed to make it on thousands rather than millions.
Not even thousands.
When you've completed the movie, how difficult will it be to get an audience for the movie? I mean, you probably won't get a release in the cinemas. So you'll want to bring it out on DVD or downloads, presumably.
Absolutely. There won't be a theatrical release, simply because, obviously, that's something that you actually have to pay for, and that's an awful lot of money. It will be, obviously, released on DVD, and we are planning to release on the download sites, such as Netflix, Amazon, iTunes, and we've got a, you know, a nice little following of people who are eager to see it. But really, this is our springboard project. For us, we want to get the film out there. We want people to like it. We're not trying to be money spinners. I'm not trying to generate fame or wealth. We're just really, really, absolutely, you know, passionate about making this film and getting it out there.
But you will, if you're going to survive as a film company, you're going to have to you're going to have to make some money somewhere. What about getting a television release for it? Is there any chance of that?
It's something that we are looking into. I can't give a definitive answer at the moment, unfortunately. But one thing I will say with the Springboard project, if it fares well with the sort of audience that we've got, we've obviously then got a jumping off point for further films, and obviously we'll then go into distribution companies prior to filming, and obviously we'll talk about having funding for the next film.
And have you got a trailer yet done for this film that people could see?
I've got a trailer, and people can find that on our YouTube channel. And they just need to put in Crime Genre Films UK, and it'll come up with our channel. It's a red band trailer, so it does have some strong language and violence. And it's the director's cut trailer.
What we'll do is we'll put a link to it on our website, right?
Fantastic.
And people at their discretion can go and have a look at it there. Now, Tanya, tell me, what's the next movie you're planning to do?
The new movie, Coal House, is a Victorian Gothic ghost story. It's based around a tragedy that occurred within a well-to-do family. But it also centres, it's late 1800s, it's centred around the East End of London. So we've tried to keep it sort of central to what we know and what Brad knows. And as I say, we wanted to do a proper ghost story, not just a gore horror story, a proper chiller.
Well, remember, Tanya, that of course I specialise myself in playing those sort of parts, won't you?
Well, absolutely.
So when you come to cast the most poignant part, well, my audition piece can be found in a movie called Cold and Dark, you know, starring Luke Goss. It's up there online, Cold and Dark. I play the main baddie.
It's a done deal.
If I do say so myself, it is incredibly. In fact, the movie was so good, I didn't even have to say any lines.
Done deal. Absolutely.
Look, we wish you luck with the hit. We'll wait and see how it goes. Give my best to Brad.
Thank you. Just before we go, I just wanted to say that Brad's a cancer survivor of leukemia, and that he was diagnosed in 2005. And much as we're not able to donate our own funds to the charities, especially Macmillan Cancer Research, we do try to promote awareness where we can through links through our films and through our pages on Facebook.
Excellent. Well done. Give him my best wishes. I didn't know that.
I will do. Thank you.
Great to talk to you, Tanya. Thank you very much.
Thanks. Been brilliant. Thank you so much. James Whale, the voice of reason on the James
Whale Radio Show. So there we are. Now, do you think I'm going to get a part in that movie or not?
Not the hit one, but maybe the other one.
Do you think so?
Well,
because I think sort of ghost movies or macabre movies, I think I would be quite good in those, don't you?
Yes, and any movie really would be good with you in it. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I think so too. I think so. Now, we did put out on Facebook, should teams with supporters like the ones we've seen, the Monsters, should they be automatically disqualified from tournaments? Lee Mack, I don't know if it's the famous one or not, but it might well be, who says no, team shouldn't be. Ian Radford said policing inside the stadium was non-existent, very worrying. Ian, you've got to remember, listen, first of all, why on earth should any football club have to police inside the stadium. If it was a rock concert that had that sort of behaviour, and you get rock concerts with more people sometimes, you don't get that kind of behaviour, do you? So why on earth should they have to police? Point one. And point two is that the French, as I said earlier, have been very busy. They have terrorist threats left, right and centre. The police are involved on those. To be quite honest, Ian, I don't think they should have had to worry about that. And I don't think I like any criticism of the French because they're doing their best, aren't they? Could we do any better? I doubt it. I'm sick of it, to be honest with you, Ian. And quite frankly, if football can't clean up its own act, then maybe it is time for football to stop, much as we would all hate that. Mick Kenton says, play the game behind closed doors. No TV, maybe, if it carries on. It's a good point. It's a good point. I've heard quite a lot of criticism of the media, and maybe we in the media are actually to blame. John Napper says, no, because they are not real supporters. Ban the team, and they will find something else to latch onto. What's needed is to catch them, take away their passports indefinitely, like I said earlier. We have many faces on the TV clips. If they haven't been arrested already, police should be waiting for them at the airports and ports and Channel Tunnel. John, I'm with you. Daniel Thurtle says, I would say threaten Russia with the loss of the 2018 World Cup. See, I said that, Robbo, earlier, didn't I?
You did, yes.
Yeah, I said that. He says, to be honest, I can't believe how bad the anti-hooliganism intelligence is for the European Championships. I was thinking that as well, Daniel. You know, normally the British police and the French police and other get together, Europol now get together and sort this out. But you see, the problem is we've all been concentrating on terrorist attacks, and we'll come on to what the tragedy in Orlando a little later. Jill Worsley said, no, they're not real fans, just hooligans. Martin Cross says the team should not be penalised. I mean, the consensus of opinion, Tina James says, no, they're not true football fans. Many of them don't even have tickets. It ruins it for the law-abiding fans. They're just ignorant. And I agree with all of this. Peter Stein says, maybe ban all UK fans if this can be arranged. Don't kick out the team. The players haven't done anything wrong. Loads more, too many to mention, all agree and say no, the team shouldn't be kicked out. And, you know, I agree. It's not the team's fault. It's football generally that doesn't seem to be able to control their supporters. And as I said before, if it was a nightclub, if it was a some kind, if you know, you had these scenes around some of the festivals, the music festivals, they wouldn't be allowed, would they?
No, not at all.
They'd be closed down. Hmm. You know, so I think football needs to take the organisers, UEFA, FIFA, the FA, all need to get together and work out what has to be done. And people who behave in this way have not to be tolerated. It is disgusting. It is appalling. I can't tell you. Right. Okay. Yeah. Shall we move on to the other thing that I would... In fact, before we talk about America and the tragedy, which is this mass shooting in Orlando, which happened, of course, and so many people dead... Should we just have a commercial break right here?
If you want.
Like we do.
Okay. We'll do that then.
What? Why'd you start doing that?
I don't know. I'm just trying to...
I haven't got to the bit of music yet. We had the bit of music before the interview, didn't we?
Yeah, we did.
Check out the website, jameswhaleradio.co.uk. Tell your friends. Find us on this radio station, this tablet, this mobile phone, this computer. You can find us anytime you want. And, of course, lots of people saying lots and lots of your old TV shows around at the moment. When are we going to get a new one? Well, stay tuned to this program, and Rob and I will tell you when the new TV show is about to happen, won't we?
We will do, yes.
Yeah. Right, bit of music coming this time from our very good friend. We haven't spoken about the European referendum on this program yet, have we?
Not today, no.
And it hasn't got long now to go until we actually have to go and vote.
Yes.
And hopefully we will go and vote. And if you haven't made your mind up as to how to vote in the European referendum, maybe the men with Venn can help you decide.
Better out than in, better in than out. Well, it all depends on what you're talking about. Do you bottle it up, or do you scream and shout? Ah! in than out.
In, out, shake it all about. In, out, shake it all about.
If you've got gout and your big toe's throbbing like a mother and it's underneath the covers, pull it out. If you're still in the closet and you're absolutely positive you're backing for the other side, get out.
All right.
When you're in to save the wombat, you won't always be in combat, cause there's such a thing as battle fatigue. Your team's the Europa Cup, you might as well just queue it up so you can concentrate on the league. When you wanna win a lady and she thinks you're being shady, whip your heart out, wear it on your sleeve. And when you're old electric wire in a set your house on fire and you're still inside, don't hang about, leave.
Get out!
Better out than in, better in than out. Well, it all depends on what you're talking about. Do you bottle it up, or do you scream and shout? Ah, better out than in, better in than out.
My mum kept everything in, kept everything to herself. My dad, on the other hand, really let everything out. Borderline Tourette's, I reckon. Still, the thing is, he lived 20 years longer than her. Think about that.
If it's sunny outside, there's no need for you to hide. But when it starts to rain, get back in. When your waters have burst and you really fear the worst, go to hospital where most of us begin. If there's a tiger running free on the street and he's scaring all the kiddies, lock him up in a zoo. If you can still fit in your off pants and you're looking good and not pants, squeezing them and I'll say good for you. Is the button on your belly an outie or an innie? Does it look like a dimple or a snout?
Oh, yeah.
And when I'm out with the fellas and they diagnose some slurs, then I say get them in, not get them out. Better out than in.
Oh.
Better in than out.
Oh, yeah.
Well, it all depends on what you're talking about.
Rah.
Do you bottle it up? Or do you scream and shout?
Ah.
Better out than in. Better in than out.
So there we are, the Men with Ven, and their track called Better Out Than In, question mark. And in the interest of balance, perhaps it should be called Better In Than Out, question mark.
Indeed.
Yeah. Okay. I want to talk about that disgusting, well, that's, I don't know. What do we do about, what do we do about these terrorist attacks on soft targets? And was it a terrorist? Well, it was a terrorist attack, whatever. It was a terrorist attack. Or was it a man who just happened to be homophobic and blame it on what was going on at the moment? Either way, it was a religious nutter, wasn't it? It was a religious nutter who, for some reason, felt that a gay club was a legitimate target to take their angst out on. And of course, you've got to remember that a lot not every Muslim, not every Christian is homophobic, but a lot of them are. And whether they are overtly homophobic or whether they are just, if you push a person who has this faith in their imaginary friend to the limit and ask them about this, they usually say, well, look, there are certain rules to our faith and you have to abide. And I understand that, all clubs have rules. And if you have rules, you have to abide by them. But don't pretend that you haven't. And sometimes maybe people who have a belief that somebody, because of their sexual orientation, is evil or wrong or whatever, however they justify it in their own rather small minds, I don't know. But it's something that has to be sorted out. There are lots of very religious, homosexuals. There are people who have for many years lived in fear of persecution by Christians, by fundamentalist Christians, many of which hang out, the fundamentalist Christians, by the way, in the United States of America. There is even, and we come on and we hear about this terrible story of a young lad being hung publicly by a bunch of rabid homophobes in Pakistan. We hear that people are stoned to death, hung, beaten up, brutalized in a, quite a lot of Muslim countries. Quite a lot of these countries, of course, have yet, if you like, to move in to the 21st century. And in a way, I suppose, for that reason, it's understandable. I can't actually understand how people living in a modern 21st century country like America can still have the views that some of these so-called God-fearing people do have. But, you know, it has to be addressed. And I know a lot of people say, oh, well, you know, it's all part of, it is part of the terrorist fight. But here's somebody who went in and used the excuse, because these people are, these people, you know, you or me, our sexuality is of no concern to anyone other than ourselves. And I quite often wonder how religious people of all faiths who feel, you know, strongly about this sort of thing, how they sleep at night, how they actually say, because, you know, if it was compulsory to try all kinds of sexual orientation, then it might be something you could complain about. You know, you might, if you're gay, you might not want to try being heterosexual and the other way around. I am just left cold that somebody can go and behave in this way. We're all human beings. We all have differences of sorts. And as long as we are not beating, raping, stealing, or trying to generally upset somebody else, we can disagree with people, but we can also agree to disagree. You know, my brother is a born-again Christian, and he knows my views, and I know his views, but we get on fine. We just agree to differ. But we have different sorts of beliefs. And even if you say, "Well, I have to say, I find the what do they call themselves? People who say they don't have any belief, the humanists or whatever, just as bad." You know, I'm open to all kinds of possibilities. Put it that way, I'm open to all kinds of possibilities. And people who actually feel so strongly that they're right, yet they have no proof whatsoever, but they're prepared to go and kill, beat, and brutalize other human beings, really have to take a long, hard look at themselves. And we have Gay Pride coming up in this country, and I hear that they're now talking about having to reassess the security for that. And in this country as well, a lot of people running and organizing and going to gay clubs and gay bars are having to look at security because of what happened in America. Maybe some misguided, rather ignorant person might be encouraged by it. I sincerely hope not. I sincerely hope not. Anybody who actually believes in a life after this one, or they've got this belief in some character, some sort of figure that and some world when you die, whatever, and it might be right. It might be right. I don't know. They might be right. I don't know. But people who do believe in that quite often seem to be some of the most angst-ridden people if you disagree with them. You know, they're all happy and smiley and wave their hands in the air when they think you agree with them. If you ask them, you pin them down and say, hang on, where is your friend? Where is this life? Where are you going with your 30 virgins or whatever afterwards? Where is it? They look at you blankly as if, why are you asking me such a stupid question? Come on. We can all get on in this world. We don't have to believe the same things. We don't look the same. We're not all the same color. We're not all the same sexual orientation. For goodness sake, where is tolerance? I feel better for that. Your thoughts, jameswhaleradio@gmail.com. jameswhaleradio@gmail.com. Don't forget, check out our website, jameswhaleradio.co.uk. Nice to have you with us on the program today. If you've enjoyed this, we have hundreds and hundreds of hours you can just download and listen to any time you like, can't they?
They can indeed, yes.
They can indeed, yes. If you want to go to the website and peruse our shop, feel free to do that as well. If you've hated this program, well, go and have a listen to some of the others just to make sure how this compares. And then you can complain. Mm. You know, we like to get letters of complaint, emails of complaint. Read them out. Now, one feature of the program is because Robbo has so much to do, but he does like a little bit of the limelight.
I think that's a
good as I yeah, yeah as I noticed last week when you put your picture up on the beginning of the program.
Yeah, that's because we didn't have a guest.
Doesn't matter.
Well, I thought
we don't have a guest. I'm what's wrong with my picture?
Well, it was the wrong orientation. It was portrait. I need the picture to be landscape.
I don't know what you're talking about. You're just making excuses because you want to have your fat face on there.
We didn't get any complaints.
Well, I complained, but nobody seemed to take any notice.
I'm sorry.
Are you?
No, not really.
Okay. Right. Shall we do Tech Talk?
Yeah, okay. I'm ready.
All these years we've been doing this program, and I've asked you to get a sponsor for Tech Talk.
Yeah.
And you still haven't got one.
You did ask me to go and test out some electric bikes, though, and I did.
Yeah, I know you did, and we put a little video up, shall we, for people to go and have a look at.
Yeah, I'll do that, yeah.
Okay, but I don't have a sponsor paying me moolah for you talking about electric bikes.
No, yeah.
Can't you find an electric bike maker?
I think the problem is the fact that I do Tech Talk.
No, never mind about that. It's on the James Whale radio show.
Yeah.
And when the James Whale radio show is on television as well, I might arrive on an electric bike.
Oh, I see where you're going, yeah.
So when you send this program to a possible sponsor for Tech Talk,
mm-hmm.
they'll hear this bit on it.
Okay.
And then they might send me an electric bike.
Right.
Because I actually, much as I don't like bikes, an electric bike might be good for a man of my age.
Well, it was very easy to ride.
Yeah. So why don't you take this and take it to one of those manufacturers of electric bikes and say, hey, what about sponsoring Tech Talk?
All right. Well, I'll tell you what then. I'll try my best to do a really polished review of the electric bike, and then we'll put this show out and then see what response we get.
Well, here we go. Ladies and gentlemen, brought to you by those amazing purveyors of electric bikes, Bike Electric, is Tech Talk.
Well, this week I tested electric bikes, and they were absolutely amazing.
Stop right there. I think we've got it. It's in the can.
There we go. Right, should we do film talk now then?
Do what?
Film talk.
Do you not want to talk a bit about electric bikes?
Well, you pressed the button, the wheel turned round for you, you didn't have to pedal, off you went.
Haven't you got a video of you on it?
I have, going the wrong way.
Where can people see that?
That's on, I'll put it on the James Whale group thing on the Facebooky thing.
Well, I think that's a very good idea.
And then you can share it on your wall.
Why don't I do that?
Mm.
Why don't we put the link on the website, jameswhaleradio.co.uk?
And I'll put the video on there, because it's on YouTube, I think.
Yeah. Well, you should know you're in it.
Yeah, I think I shared it on Twitter. I'll put it on YouTube, and then I'll share it everywhere.
Yeah. Well, you did send it to me, and you did look ridiculous, but I think it's worth people looking at, and I think it's worth you going to talk to some of these people. There are a number of them advertising now on television, so they must have a few bob. They might like to sponsor Tech Talk, or the entire program.
Okay,
the eco-friendly James Whale radio show.
Yeah, we're definitely eco-friendly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Film talk then?
Yeah.
Off or is it too much?
Have you got a little film to talk about?
Yeah, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Part 2.
Yeah? Oh, no. I hate those.
Yeah, I didn't enjoy the film much myself.
Did you not?
No.
Okay. Well, that's it. That's Tech Talk, isn't it? Out of the way.
Film talk, yeah.
Oh, sorry. Film talk, yeah. Film talk out of the way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I was going to talk about the Playboy Mansion bought by Hugh Hefner's neighbour for a rumoured $200 million. Does that include the girls?
I don't think so, sadly. I think he's bought a house on the idea that he's going to move in.
Oh, really?
It's going to be empty.
Oh, $200 million, and it comes without the girls.
It's not on, is it, really?
No, no, no. And I was going to talk about light pollution means 80% of us can't see the stars.
Oh, paparazzi flashes, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I can see the stars, so I must be one of the lucky ones.
Can you see the stars?
Not today, because it's raining, but when it's clear, yes.
Oh, you mean the ones in the sky?
Yeah, why? Yeah.
I thought you
wasn't
meant
that what we were talking about?
No, I thought you meant the people, the stars walking down the street and people flashing light bulbs so we can't see them. We're all blinded.
Oh, why do they? I mean, on a mobile phone, you can take quite good pictures without the need of a flash.
Not if you've got them in a case. I find it's terrible if you have them in a case. Take them out. Take your phones out of the cases.
Why?
Because the flash sort of reflects off the side of the case. It's terrible.
Oh, right. Okay, right. Might have to try that. Mm. So do we finish as normal with the questions for the great whale, or have I gone on too long?
We'll finish. I mean, the fade-out might come in. I mean, we might have some music playing underneath us, but
I'll
go until we get cut off, shall I?
No, I quite like music underneath bits of the programme. So, yeah, if in the final edit you want to do that, feel free.
Okay. Are we ready?
I'm always ready, but you're the one who has problems in reading.
Well, I have problems finding the page then, which is probably really? What the noise you were hearing then. I've got the page now. It's always on page one for me.
Mm.
I don't know why.
Whenever you're ready, I'm just going to sit back in my chair, make myself comfortable and wait for you.
Okay, Chris Hawkins.
Hello, Chris.
Should the Conservative Party sack Cameron whether the outcome of the referendum... outcome...
For goodness sake, working with amateurs. Oh, dear.
I'll edit that out and I'll say it again. Here we go. No one will know. Ready?
No one will know. No,
are you comfy? Chris Hawkins.
Who?
Chris Hawkins.
Talkins?
Hawkins.
Hawkins?
Yes.
Chris Hawkins, you said.
Yeah, I'll edit that out and we'll start again. Right.
Good. Right. Chris Hawkins.
You can't say the name. I'm saying the name.
All right. Okay. Okay.
Chris Hawkins.
Hello, Chris.
Should the Conservative Party sack Cameron, whatever the outcome of the referendum on the 23rd?
I don't think they will sack Cameron, whatever the outcome of the referendum on the 23rd, because David Cameron has already said that he will not be standing again.
Dawn, I won't bother with the second bit because we haven't...
Why?
Because we'll argue over the pronunciation of the...
Let me have a look. Quinnunstanti?
That's the one, see?
Yeah, okay.
Dawn Quinnunstanti?
Yes.
What is Noel Edmonds? Is he a witch doctor? Is he a miracle worker? Or is he correct?
I think you missed out what he is. Idiot.
Okay, right.
Or if I was being charitable, he is totally misinformed and maybe going just a bit Ike.
Okay. Is that a David?
Hmm.
Bill Roberts. Do you have your own lyrics for TV themes? For example, when Emmerdale comes on, I sing, Emmerdale Farm, God help us, it's Emmerdale Farm.
No.
I think I just made a fool of myself.
I do too. Keep that in. Whatever happens, keep that in the final edit. Go on.
Margaret Holland.
Right, yes.
Do you think it will be possible for the EU vote to be doctored?
No. No. Rest assured, I think the E vote will be the E. The EU vote will be the EU vote. What I think will be the biggest tragedy, personally, is if very few people bother to vote, because then you don't really have a true reflection on how the majority of the country feel. If we have a sort of under 50% turnout, well, even if it was only 60%, you know, I still feel that that, when you take into consideration, it will be, a percentage of the total amount. It'll still be a small percentage. If we don't all get out and vote, that will make the decision for the rest of us. So that's what I worry about, people not voting. I've had people phone me on programs and say, well, I'm not voting because I don't think it makes any difference. Well, it does. And just bear in mind how many people gave their lives and fought for the right to a democratic life. many people in the world still don't have it.
More politics now.
Mm-hmm.
Dave Benjamin, will it be Trump or will it be Clinton? I predict it will be neither. The next president of the USA will be not the next president of the USA. It will still be Obama by way of state emergency. Do you think this could be a possibility?
No, I don't. It's against the American Constitution for somebody to do more than two terms as the president. I think the American people have a stark choice between Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump. I wouldn't want to have to make that decision. But golly, could you imagine a president called Trump? Bearing in mind what Trump tends to mean in this country.
And finally, Shane O'Neill.
Yeah.
I got to get this right. Do Capuchin or Capuchin monkeys like frothy Italian coffee?
Do you mean capuchin?
That's the one. That's what I said.
Is that the word capuchin?
Capuchin, yeah, capuchin. Yeah.
Capuchin monkeys have got nothing to do with cappuccini coffee.
I get it now.
Good.
I think there's a joke in there.
Yeah.
There we go.
Good, I'm off. Next time, please, read the questions before you ask them. Is that understood?
Well, I've got no one to bounce off, so I don't know if they're right or wrong.
Oh, for goodness sake. Just call me and we'll do it together. Right?
Okay. We go now.
I've gone.
Oh, we're probably off air anyway.
Yeah, I think we probably are. Right, okay. Do one.
To the James Whale Radio Show. For more information, visit www.jameswhaleradio.co.uk. Why not check us out on facebook.com/James Whale Radio Show or follow James on Twitter @TheJamesWhale. James Whale, the voice of reason.